After I read the scripture, I had to call and cancel the contractor who was coming to build a bigger shed. Well, good morning, church. And good morning to you, Lord. So, inheritance. The word inheritance is mentioned 237 times in the Bible. And inherited, I think, is like 62 times. Or inherit is 62 times. The origin of the word comes from something that means a primitive root. And I find that concept of a root being really interesting. You know, something is the root of all evil. And this idea that from this primitive root that all these different things can grow, these different concepts of what inheritance is and how we accept our inheritance. Inheritance basically means that we receive something good or something other than good, like maybe a title, an estate derived from an ancestor who has passed on and left you as an heir. You receive that estate by inheritance. A future reception. Perhaps you know when Aunt Sally dies that she's going to leave you a bundle, but you don't have it yet. Now, the Old Testament context is in an estate, of an estate is given or possessed by donation or divine appropriation. The Lord directed Moses on how to distribute land. Something that is possessed or enjoyed can be inherited. So it's this word, it's full of all kinds of different nuances and thoughts and meanings. But in spiritual inheritance, it means we have inherited the gift of eternal life. We didn't work for it. We don't do anything to deserve the grace that brings it about. And we exist in the kingdom of God through God's grace. As believers, we are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, and we inherit the eternal life in the kingdom of God. Imperishable and eternal. That's a lot. Think about that in relationship or in comparison with earthly inheritance. Earthly inheritance is, of course, temporal. Yeah, we can't take it with us. It's sometimes described as being corrupt or defiled or fading or something that's kept. The spiritual part, that's something that's kept just in heaven and that really doesn't belong to us because we have to earn it. We have to decide to work for it. This is a great struggle, I think, for Christians is, well, I don't deserve this. Well, of course you don't. But God gives it to you anyway because God loves you unconditionally. And that was the whole point of sending Jesus after all. So we are justified by God's grace, and that leads to inheriting eternal life. Sometimes it's so related to ethical and moral dimensions when you're part of an organization and it does something that you know is not correct or right, but you're part of that organization, and perhaps it's one you can't get out of, that you're kind of stuck with it. So you take another step, and you step away from those situations, and you seek holiness. You seek a life of righteousness, and that will bring you to the right place in relationship with Christ. So we have earthly inheritance, and that concept in the New Testament, the idea of what we inherit, builds upon the Old Testament understanding of inheriting lands and blessings, all kinds of things that they inherited. However, in spiritual inheritance, we inherit something that transcends earthly possessions. We are encouraged to believe and imitate those who through faith and patience inherit promises and importance of preservation in faith. That's just amazing to me. I've inherited these promises from God, and no one can take them away from me. And I don't deserve them, but God's going to give them to me anyway. We share in God's inheritance, Christ's inheritance, as children of God. So it is by grace that we are justified. We can't earn it. It is given to us. It's through this grace that we as believers receive the gift, the inheritance of eternal life. Is there anything greater or more valuable than this inheritance? In Luke, Jesus says, one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Success has nothing to do with how much you have or you don't have. Success and inheritance has to do with God loving you and never leaving you. And the cool part is that he's already started keeping his promise by sending us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reminds us and keeps us in good line with what it is that's important to us, what it is that not only do we inherit, but that we want to pass on to others. We want to pass on to our children and our friends, those five that we prayed for. We want them to know that they indeed are also recipients of God's love and salvation. Jesus tells us that things of this earth are pretty worthless in comparison to the gift of eternal life. We cannot eat, drink, and be merry as a reward for abundance. Have that beer, you deserve it. Buy that car, you deserve it. Some things that we deserve, we probably oughtn't have. But the best thing that we have that we don't deserve is God's promise. Abundance, the inheritance, the real value, if you will, is found through being rich toward God. Being rich toward God. That phrase kind of stumped me for a minute. And I thought, what does it mean to be rich toward God? And I thought and thought and thought, and I've come up with kind of a beginning of an understanding of that. And that beginning of understanding is that whatever I do, whatever I value, I offer it to God and I live into it because of my love of God, not because of my love of self, not because of love of the object or the item, but purely for the love of God. So in earthly probate, nothing is absolutely guaranteed. And I'm sure all of us know someone or have experienced troubles that can endure by seeking potential security and comfort by earthly means as an estate is settled. There's conflict over the idea that mom promised me that, or dad would want me to have that. And indeed, who will get that, whatever it is, it really doesn't matter. Dad would want me to have that. Indeed, who will get that, whatever that is, whatever that is. It might be all kinds of things. But there's only one thing that we get from God's inheritance to us, and that's that gift of eternal life. Sometimes in an arbitration in the world, we have to seek someone from outside to settle the conflict. Families divide, brothers don't speak to one another, all those things. And they have to go to a lawyer or something, you know, somebody, I don't guess there's professional arbitrators, to settle these things because the people involved aren't centered on what it is that's really important. They're centered on what they can get, what that is. And that's what happens in today's gospel. This man goes to Jesus, found out he was a teacher and a rabbi, and so therefore Jesus was a person of some renown and certainly had the wisdom to arbitrate this situation. He goes to Jesus and he asks for legal resolution, and Jesus, as he is prone to do, tells a parable, the parable of the rich man, making it clear that they are barking up the wrong tree. There is no promise, no guarantee in resolving who gets what from the inheritance of things. There is the guarantee that we as believers will inherit an ultimate gift, eternal life to everyone, through grace. There's no arbitrating, there's no fussing, there's no hard feelings. There's just truth. God's truth, that we are His and He watches over us, and that we are blessed through grace. Amen.